Today we're going to talk about hope for one more child. And I'd invite you to open your Bibles or your device to Psalm 68, verses 5 and 6. Now, some people say, well, Pastor, why do we have an Orphan Care Sunday every year? It's because it is part of our culture, and we're trying to really set an example for other churches in our region and really around the world. Because the Bible says in the book of James that pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to care for widows and orphans in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And you know, through the years, we've had a really direct, intentional ministry to widows. In fact, yesterday, our Widows in Need, our WIN ministry, they were right out here in this parking lot, and they serviced the cars of dozens of widows who drove up, and they got their cars ready for the wintertime. So we've done that through the years. But a few years ago, we realized that we really weren't doing enough to make a difference in the lives of orphans and those in foster care in East Texas. So we've become more intentional since then. And in 2009, we launched Hope for 100, in which our goal that year was to make a difference in the lives of 100 children through foster care or adoption. And we made that goal, surpassed that goal, and through the years now, Hope for 100 has become its own 501c3 organization, and they have helped dozens of churches to launch orphan care ministries. But to show you how this has touched our church through the years, if you are in any of these categories, I want you to stand up. If you were adopted or in a family where someone was adopted, you might even be the grandparent, aunt or uncle or sibling, or you were in foster care, or you ever fostered before, would you stand up right now? If that was any ever part of your life, just stand up and let's see how many people here that this has already touched their lives. Let's tell them thank you for what you've done. Thank you, choir. Thank you. Just let you know that there's a great need for that. God has a very special place in his heart for children who need parents. In fact, in Psalm 68:5, the Bible says, God in his holy dwelling is a father of the fatherless and a champion of widows. God provides homes for those who are deserted. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious live in a scorched land. Now, you know, I believe that 2020 has been one of the longest decades of my life. But just to let you know what we did exactly 1 year ago for this Sunday, just enjoy this video for a moment. This was 1 year ago. Look how close everybody is. So how many of you remember that or did participate in that? Yeah, sure. I mean, you guys were just so awesome. Not only did we buy shoes for all those here in Crosswalk and at Green Acres South, but you gave enough money to buy 250 new pair of shoes. Now, let me tell you what happened after that. Yeah, go ahead. Praise the Lord for that. There were kids in some of these facilities and in foster homes and like Hope Haven and places like that, that they were able to go to a store and for the first time ever in their life, buy a new pair of shoes. You take that for granted, but all they wore their whole lives were hand-me-downs, but they got to buy brand new shoes because of your generosity. Well, we've got some ways that you can participate today as well without getting up and walking up to the platform. You can do it right where you're seated, and we'll get to that toward the end of the message. So first of all, let's talk a little bit about how I'm going to ask you to just kind of open up to what God is doing in the lives of kids at risk. Number one, I want to challenge you to open your heart to the challenge. And it really is a challenge. And you may not be aware of it. There's so many challenges we face. But right now in the United States, there are over 400,000 children who are in need of adoption or foster care. 23,000 of these children age out of the system, meaning they reach the age of 18 without being in foster care or adoption. And of those 23,000, 40% of them are going to end up homeless. And only 6% of them are going to go to a 2 or 4 year college. So what's been different about this COVID year, 2020? And it has been different. As you know, children and families have been locked down for months until school started back up. And then when some of the teachers and other leaders were able to observe some of the kids that came from homes where they were abused, they actually discovered that during this time, some of these kids have been locked up with their abusers. To just let you know, 1 year ago, there were 250 cases in Smith County of children needing adoption or foster care. That's 250 1 year ago. Today, it has risen to 322. So the need is greater than ever before. And I'm not talking about nationwide, global. I'm talking about Smith County right here. And that's the bad news. But there is some good news. There is a great traction and momentum to continue to adopt. Some kids in the foster care system are fostered to adopt. Others are just temporary fostering. But I'm happy to announce that in 5 days from today, November the 20th, down at our 110 Student Center, there are going to be 23 kids adopted at one single ceremony. Let's praise the Lord for that. 23 children will be adopted 5 days from today. And that compares to last year on the same day, Smith County Adoption Day, were only 9 kids, 23 to 9. So God is good. And you know, the Bible is full of ways in which God cares for those who are in need and at risk. Isaiah 1:17 says, "Learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow." You know, God made provisions for widows and orphans in a different way. Do you know what the Old Testament welfare system was? We read about it in Deuteronomy 24, and I write about it in my book that's just coming out in a couple of weeks on Ruth, about God told the people that when they planted fields, when they harvested the crop, leave the corners of the fields. Don't harvest the corners. That was for the widows and the orphans to collect food. And God instructed them, when you beat the olive trees, that's the only way you get the olives to fall. You could only beat them once, not twice, because any olives that were left over were for the widows and the orphans. And when you went through the vineyard picking the grapes, you can't go through twice. Go through one time, and any of the grapes left over were always for orphans and widows. So God had a welfare plan in the Old Testament for people at risk. So, you know, in one side, I want you to try to imagine, here is a loving God, a father. He called himself a father. That's the image he gave to us to think of him. And on the other side of this gulf, you have all of these children in need who need a father. They need a mother. They need a loving family. They need a table that they can sit down with a family and be nourished, nurtured. And so you got this great gulf. How can we span the gulf? Well, a lot of people in our culture today says that is the job of government to span this gulf. And I say, absolutely not. It is the job of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been called from the very beginning to take care of those who cannot take care of themselves. So I think the church has to step up and do more. And as I said, I'm encouraged to know that because our church has started an orphan care ministry, many, many other churches have as well. So not only the challenge, but number two, open your eyes to the possibilities. I mean, think what we could do if more people and more churches got involved. I think back to 2019 again, to our City Fest with the Palau organization. We had about 440 churches from East Texas participating in City Fest. If only one half of that number of churches would begin an orphan care ministry, we could make a huge difference in the lives of children in East Texas who need adoption and foster care. I've used this list before. But guess what these people all have in common? And these are all famous people. Babe Ruth, Alexander Hamilton, John Hancock, Gerald Ford, John Lennon, Faith Hill, Tim McGraw, Willie Nelson, James Dean, Cher, Eddie Murphy, Steve Jobs, and Simone Biles. You recognize all their names, and every one of them were adopted or in foster care at one time. And hugely successful. Every time you drive by a Wendy's hamburger, you should think about the success of fostering. Because Dave Thomas, when he was born, his mother chose to give him up for adoption, and he was adopted at age 6 and never knew his birth mother. But he became so successful when he found out there wasn't a good hamburger in his town, so he started a hamburger stand and named it after his daughter, Wendy. And he died in 2018, and just last year, Wendy's hamburgers were sold for $2.53 billion. And you just think about that family that was willing to adopt this child and bring this child into their home. You know, we really are doing a good job teaming up with all the community resources, but there's still a lot more we can do. And we have a short video here, about 3 minutes, from some of our community leaders that you will know and recognize. And I want you to hear them talk about the possibilities.
You know, we have really, in my mind, exponentially increasing need to help these kids because we are doing so many more removals. There are so many more CPS cases that are coming about than we've ever had in the past.
It breaks my heart when they have to leave everything that they know.
Going to those locations where our cars being sold or other activities going on and finding kids in those locations is always heartbreaking. Going to see faces that come, they're going to take a position with children.
We do not have enough families, and our goal is to have enough families that we can say we have more than enough for every child that comes to the care.
You know, foster parents function in a critical role in the system, and so I can't speak enough positive about how
we would not have to bring children into foster care if we had the support for our biological families from the beginning.
We have to protect the child, of course, but we want to get people back on track and give them a chance. You have to believe your redemption in this business.
It's demonstrated that the church does have a role in providing care for our families and in helping us to work together to accomplish a greater good.
From a family court standpoint, if we can rebuild families, we're helping children succeed as well. And that, to me, is a victory, and that's a great meaning. But I think that if we were able to provide more mentors, more advocates, more parents, then we would be able to make a big difference in the success we're able to achieve in each of these cases.
Yeah, this town is going to get 30, 40, 50,000 people that are attending church on Sunday. You can turn that same power out on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday to do housing and have to take care of food issues in the community. That's when we start seeing everything.
We are so often having to move kids far away during their CPS days because we don't have enough resources for them. So it's extremely important for the world to develop more foster resources and local here in East Texas.
I think those things like that are easy to think about, but they're hard to do. I can tell you that a lot of times when you do those things, the church messes up with you, you go home and start your life again. But I think the opportunity for us to come together and do those things, prepare the opportunity to pour resources for the people that don't know, that opportunity is there. And I think there's nothing that this community can do.
So I don't know if you picked up on one thing that Judge Wilson said that's very important. Right now, you know, when we have an issue in Smith County with a child that has to be taken by CPS and there's not an available foster family, they have to be shipped off to some other facility in the state. And so if we had enough foster families here, we could prevent that from happening. And you're going to see in a few moments that one of our huge pivots that we're trying to make this year is to pour more into training the biological parents so they won't have to give their kids up for foster care. That's a big part of our initiative this year. And so open your heart to the challenge, open your eyes to the possibilities. Finally, open your arms to help kids in need. And I could also say open your purses, your pocketbooks, and your bank accounts. And I know right now it may not be as possible as it used to be to actually lovingly wrap a child in your arms, but there's a lot of ways we can do that. And we demonstrate the heart of God when we do this. Mark chapter 10, verse 14, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And he took the children in his arms. He put his hands on them and he blessed them. We know that literally the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven and he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. But the body of Christ is here. We are still here and we can still take little children in our arms and bless them. And so now I want to tell you some real practical ways you can do that. So there at your seat, there is a card and an envelope. And I'd like everybody to take one and hold it up and show it to me. Because I'm not going to start talking about it until I see everyone holding one up. There's one there beside you or with you. And ladies, if you have a purse or guys, a pocket with a pen in it or something, you can use it to notify on that. Or there are ways to do it digitally, as we're going to see in a few moments. So I'm going to ask you to go with me through this card. First of all, we're going to look at the card that's got the dark area down at the bottom. I'm colorblind, so I can't tell you what color that is. Somebody tell me what color is that? Green. Green is green? Green Acres. That's good. All right. So let's start with the top of the bottom of that card. I will provide hope for one more child with my time by, here's an option, by wrapping around a foster or adoptive family. We have what we call wraparound families, and these are families that they don't foster kids, they don't adopt kids, but like they team up with a foster family. And so they say, you know what, let me bring you some groceries sometime. Or let me watch your kids one afternoon so you guys can go and do something. Or let me pick up some diapers for you or something like that. And these are called wraparound families. And if you volunteer to do that, our Hope for 100 ministry will hook you up with a foster family. Volunteering to go on a Grace Embedded delivery team. Now let's talk a little bit about Grace Embedded. On the screen, you'll see the slide that for this year, the night before Thanksgiving, is our ninth annual bed build. We build hundreds of bunk beds right here under our parking deck, and we'll be doing it again this month, the night before Thanksgiving. And if you'd like to be a part of that, you do need to sign up at eventbrite.com, and that's for those of you who are builders, and there's a different shift you can come and work. But this year, we've added a new section there. Notice if you have a truck or you have a trailer, because we've learned that one of the greatest needs is this, that we'll get a call from CPS and we need a bed delivered that evening to some house somewhere. And sometimes we don't have the means to get the truck there. So some of you guys say, hey, I got a pickup truck. I can put a bed in it, or I've got a trailer. I'll put one in that. And you can sign up for that and we'll put you on a list and you can be contacted about that. And then the next thing, of course, learn how to become a foster parent. Now, we're always emphasizing adoption, but this year, we're really concentrating more on fostering. Fostering is a lot different than adopting a child. It's not a lifetime commitment. It's a short-term commitment, to, as short or long as you choose to make it. And a lot less training, a lot less requirements. And you can be a single parent and still be a foster parent. So if you've ever thought about that, the need is great. And if you're even interested in that, check the box and here's what's going to happen. Somebody from Hope from 100 is going to talk to you about this is what it involves to be a foster parent. All right, becoming a licensed babysitter. You know, in order to babysit for foster kids, you have to be licensed, but yet we have classes here at our church that will license you to be able to take care of kids who are in foster care. Here's the area I'm talking about, the new twist for us, a good twist, volunteering for Families Count Outreach Program. This is totally new. This is where we're going to be inviting parents, biological parents, whose kids maybe have been taken away by the court. We want to bring them in to our church and groups of a maximum of 12 over a six-week period and teach them the Christian principles of parenting. The goal of this class is to give them the parenting skills so they won't have to give up their children, so their children can come back and live safely in their home. Now, we need mentors, people to bring meals, people to provide transportation. That's what you can do. So you're not a parent who has a child at risk, but you can still participate in this, come alongside. And so this afternoon, 4:30 over here in Lighthouse 371. There's an information meeting about that. By the way, this program is sponsored by CPS also and by the family court, and families that go through this program have a much greater chance of getting their children back in their home. So we're trying to really address the root of the problem more than just the fruit of the issue. And then, of course, everybody can commit to pray. So take a moment and just put your name, your email, and your preferred phone number down there. And then I'll be telling you what to do with this card when we finish in just a moment. But then you flip over to the other side. So, you know, I rolled in this beautiful deluxe double stroller. There's a lot of different levels of ways you can participate, and we do this a lot of times through the Fostering Collective. But, you know, at the very top, could you do $5 just for some baby wipes or for some bottles or some baby toys? I mean, those are needed, and if you'll just say, yes, I will, and give the money for that, that'll be what it goes for. $10 for socks and undergarments, toiletries. $25 will buy a special family Bible. You say, okay, well, what happened to these family Bibles? Well, you know these families, these biological families that are coming for the training for Families Count? We're going to give them these Bibles and say, this is what you do with your family. You sit down and together you read the Bible, and $25 will buy that. Then you get into clothing, high chairs, school supplies, car seats, bicycle, stroller, a crib, clothing, grocery gift cards are greatly needed. And then this double stroller that you see that I brought in is $150, but also a toddler bed, counseling services. And then you can go on down to help for adoptive family, $250 for emergency medical costs. But also the last one there is scholarships for church camps. You know, when we have our foster kids that are in the youth group and they want to go like to a youth camp or to do upward sports or something like that, a lot of times they don't have the money to pay for it. So we do have a scholarship fund for that. So this is not the kind of thing I'm going to ask you to take it with you and think about it and pray about it. I'm going to ask you to do something about it right now. So look, there's a lot of ways to do that. You can put your commitment. You can put a dollar amount in there. And then you can say, I'm going to do it by cash or check. And you can use that envelope that's there. And you can either leave it in the pew when we finish or take it to one of the displays in the foyer. Or there's that number again, 638-7676. Just text the word HOPE. And that text to give will go to Hope for One. Or just take your smartphone and take a picture of that QR code. And right there, that's the easiest way. You can just give right there, right now, online with the QR code. Or, of course, you can mail in a check or a cash donation and designate it for Hope for 100. Everybody can do something. I mean, not everybody in this room you should adopt or you could adopt. Not everybody in this room at a stage in your life where you can provide foster care. But everybody can do something, and if everybody does something, you can make a difference in the life of at least one child in need. You know, I just sometimes picture a child, maybe a 6 or 7 year old child that's been abused and they've been taken away from their home. And maybe they don't know much about God, but one thing that almost all kids do is pray. I can remember praying as a kid when I didn't even know what I was doing, but I can just imagine a kid somewhere saying, God, help me. God, help me. God, just rescue me. Help me some way. And so maybe you do a little bit today. And who knows, that could have a difference in that child's life. And so maybe one day in heaven, when you're there, that child will come up to you and say, you know what? You didn't even know it, but when you gave that day at Green Acres Baptist Church, that resulted in a help that turned my life around. And that's the reason I'm here today. You never know, but it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. So I finished with this story. You know, Zane Grey was a prolific author who primarily wrote Western stories about the Wild West. And in one of his novels, he wrote about a certain Native American tribe that was going to be attacked in a couple of days from a stronger tribe. And so in the middle of the night, the chief said, we must escape. And so under the cover of darkness, they escaped. But they came to a raging river, and the current was swift because of the melting snow. And the chief of the tribe instructed every strong, able man to pick up a child in one arm and a senior adult in the other arm and to wade across the swirling, raging river. There were some of the young braves who said, no, not me, I'm looking out for myself. And so they waded in to the surging water and they were swept away. But they discovered that the men who carried a child and an elderly person, they were weighted down enough that they secured safe footing and they made it safely across the river. You know, that little story by Zane Grey has a great parable for our culture today. And it is this: if we go through life only caring about ourselves, we're going to be swept away by the forces of our culture. But if we take some time to carry some other people who are in need, we're going to find out that they aren't burdens at all. In fact, they're the ones that give us the weight and moral stability that truly gives our lives meaning. Let's pray. Father, I'm thankful that you've allowed our church already to make a difference in the lives of hundreds of kids at risk. And Lord, it's not something we just do once and forget about. It's an ongoing ministry. And I thank you for the people in our church that are doing it all the time. Thank you for those that are on the front lines and fostering kids and adopting kids. But Father, I pray you'll call out others who know that they can participate in at least one small way to make one big difference in the lives of these kids. Father, thank you for your word and showing us who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.